Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Maybe you saw the piece in the Indianapolis Star a couple weeks ago by London Gibson. Indiana's strategic position boosts its wind power industry. Just a couple of notes from that piece. With gusts from Lake Michigan and a strategic position between two electrical grids, Indiana is one of the best states in the country for building wind turbines. Currently, only 11 other states produce more wind power than Indiana. Wind produces now about 8% of the nation's power. But later in the article, they write, more than 30 counties in Indiana have passed ordinances restricting or prohibiting wind power in Indiana, in part out of fear that the projects will tank property values or that effects such as noise or flickering shadows will negatively affect the lives of those who live near them. We've talked about this topic before, but not for a while. One of the people they quote in the piece joins us now. This is Jeff Danielson, the Central Region Director of State Affairs for the American Clean Power. Thanks for joining us today, Jeff. You're on WGN. How are you?
We're doing well, John. I appreciate the opportunity.
So this has been kind of your life's work. I know you've been a state senator in Indiana, but this has been something near and dear to you for a while, huh?
Yeah, I'd have to say I was a state senator in Iowa, so I don't want the Iowans to get mad at me. I'm sure Indiana wouldn't mind, but this really has been central to Iowa's success, and really the Midwest as sort of the wind capital of North America. Iowans have even decided to put wind turbines on their driver's licenses and won a contest of the people to put it on the license plate. So broad acceptance across Iowa and really the Midwest.
Yeah, to be clear, this piece is about Indiana, but we see them through Iowa, Illinois, and Indiana. And yet there's this note here that 30 counties in Indiana are saying we don't want them. I presume other counties in other states have some trepidation about this too, huh?
Americans have strong opinions about infrastructure, about land use, and they should. And there are places where those concerns have rose to the level of county governments, local governments, either banning or restricting such that it is an effective ban. But the vast majority of communities who hear the evidence and hear the facts, and where landowners are engaged in a transparent process, have said yes, which has really fueled the growth of wind energy across the Midwest. So yes, some concerns, some areas where there's less acceptance, but the track record of our companies is very good, and folks generally do accept the business relationship of having a wind farm.
Yeah, right. Business relationship. I presume by that you mean that if you put up one of those turbines on somebody's property, they collect a rent from that, right? Let's pick it up here in just a minute, because the concerns are that the strobing effect will be bad for people, or that it's bad for the birds, or that it's bad for property values. When I drive by those things, I just think they're fantastic. It's almost surreal. And yet I don't know that what I'm saying or seeing makes me want to live next to one of those things. I guess if it's in a farm field, it's not like you have a residential area where people will see it out their backyard all the time. But if you were living in a place where that was within your view, I wonder how you would feel about that. Would you ignore it in time, or would that just always be sort of a visual stain on the landscape and you'd hate it? Let's pick it up here in a minute. We're talking about wind power throughout the Midwest, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa. Jeff Danielson's on a phone line, the Central Region Director for State Affairs for ACP. That's one of these clean energy, clean power companies, one of those wind turbine companies. I guess that's what you all do, huh, Jeff? Your company is one of those that erects those turbines, is that right?
So, John, we're the national association. We have 1,000 member companies that make up the wind wind energy companies, as well as the entire supply chain, manufacturing, the blades that you see traveling to be installed. We represent all of those businesses, basically the supply chain for clean energy.
So you don't have to sell me on the sort of wisdom of these things. You know, the article in the Indianapolis Star points out that not only is it clean energy, you know, the wind powers these things, but it also says here it saves a tremendous amount of water required by other energy sources for cooling. I guess if you had a nuclear plant, for instance, that requires a lot of water, but these don't do that. But what about, let's just click through some of the objections people typically have. What does it do to the birds and wildlife in that area?
So there is some impact, but relative to other things that we deal with, cars, for example, skyscrapers, you name it, wind energy still has less of an impact on wildlife than those who are opposed to it would have you believe. And our member companies are sensitive to that. It's a part of the evaluation process. Are they in areas where there is migratory birds and wildlife, even bats, for example? And they plan and mitigate to make sure that it's as lowest amount of impact as possible. So we're sensitive to the concerns. I think that's important. We attempt to address all of them during the planning process.
I guess, though, it's inevitable. Birds are going to fly into those paths, and they're going to get swept up or run into those wings, right?
Yeah, very, very unique, rare circumstances. But, you know, infrastructure is a part of our daily lives. It's a part of the trade-offs, the costs and benefits of that, and that's why we're encouraged that most communities have said yes.
What about the strobing effect that it has? When the sun's at a certain angle, you get that whoop, whoop, whoop. And if you are in the sight of that, it can be not just distracting, but some people actually have a reaction to it. Now, what about that, Jeff?
Sure, there are claims, and we take all claims seriously. The evidence shows, though, that it's we refer to it as shadow flicker, that during the planning process, and we actually have a sort of an industry guidance that should be less than 30 hours a year for any individual property. And so that computes to about 99.7% of the time there is no shadow flicker. And in some cases during the planning process, if that becomes an issue with landowners and County Board of Supervisors, for example, our companies will adjust the layout of the wind farm. It can't be avoided in all cases, but we do take it seriously, and we do have a standard that minimizes that impact.
Where you put them, do you pay rent on the property, or is it a one-time fee? How do those contracts work?
So I think that's one of the very unique and successful aspects of wind power in particular. It is a direct business relationship with the landowner. It is not like a coal plant on the edge of town, you know, the way we used to site energy generation. This is a direct business relationship, and those lease payments go directly to the farmers, and it provides a cushion for the market, diversifies their revenue stream. And I think that's one of the biggest reasons rural America in particular has really embraced a wind power. They've seen the economic benefits. They may care about and learn about the environmental benefits later. But for most of them, these are small business owners, and this is an aspect of energy where they can share real ownership and benefit from it.
So every single turbine that I see is there because the farmer or whoever the landowner is agreed to let you put it up there, or is there any eminent domain thing going on here?
Eminent domain is not broadly used in the industry. That's one of the success stories. When you think about infrastructure, sometimes eminent domain has to be a part of it. But our industry has been very successful over the last 15 or 20 years of its growth is because those are voluntary relationships. And our member companies spend years working with community members and figuring out what the proper layout should be and then engaging with their elected representatives, county supervisors, township trustees, et cetera, It's a very unique relationship when it comes to energy, and I think it's been one of the secrets to our success.
630 said, you want to live by them? Not me. Another caller said, we don't want them here in Michigan because tourism in our lake is our primary source of income. And 217 said, the company that put up 48 600-foot-tall wind turbines in Champaign and Douglas County in 2019-2020 filed for bankruptcy. So many roads that were pretty much ruined during construction have yet to be repaired. I don't know. What's your comments to those three texts?
Yeah, so beauty is in the eye of the beholder, no doubt. And, you know, I've had experience at the state level with the DOT as a commissioner in Iowa. I've also served on a planning and zoning commission at the local level. So land use decisions are something that people have strong opinions on. They should. They have a right to do that. All of those issues are addressed through the planning process. And I think the reason you've seen such a rapid growth in wind power across the Midwest and in the U.S. is because most communities have balanced the costs and benefits and have said yes. And so, yes, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, no doubt, but the track record of success is pretty clear.
My producer just handed me a sheet, and it shows the threat to birds. How are birds typically killed? 365 million a year when they fly into building glass, then communication towers, then electrical lines, then collisions with vehicles. And 5th on the list is collisions with land-based wind turbines, 140,000, or as few as 140,000. I'm showing you at least one range here, but it's apples to apples. 140,000 birds into wind turbines compared to, that's 140,000 compared to 365 million flying into buildings with glass where the birds mistake the reflection for the horizon. You know, the thing to me is, it's just, you say beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Yeah, I think it's beautiful as you drive by them, but I can't imagine wanting one of those in my view. Do you know what I mean? Like, do you live near one of those? Would you want to live near one of those, Jeff?
Yeah, so in Iowa, it's one of the leading states per capita for wind turbines. As I mentioned, we were redoing our license plates, and so we put a vote to the people of the four mock-ups, if you will, choices, and they chose the one with the wind turbine on it right alongside the silos and smokestacks of the past, farming and manufacturing that people are proud of. So I think that there is, if people have the evidence in front of them, are able to be transparent about why we're building wind farms in communities. I think the story is that most people say yes. We also have to think about our future. What will our energy future be during this transition from old energy to newer, cleaner energy? And by the way, even traditional energy is trying to be as clean as possible. So we're all heading towards that goal. We have a proven technology that's really been successful here in the Midwest, and we see growth in the future as well.
Okay, Jeff, interesting. We'll talk again. I know I'm intrigued by these things. Jeff Danielson is the Central Regional Director for the State Affairs for the American Clean Power Group. It's nice to talk to you today, Jeff. We'll visit again down the road, and the piece in the Indianapolis Star by London Gibson is easy to find. Just Google Indiana's strategic position. Nice to talk to you, sir.
Thank you, John. Appreciate the opportunity.